Good morning. It is my great joy and great pleasure to get to be with you. Thank you for being here and looking forward to spending some time in the Word of God. It's been good to sing together and pray together already. And if you are a special guest here, getting to be with family specifically, maybe showing special honor to your mother, or if you are a mother and you're being shown special honor here today, we're glad of that. We love and appreciate you very much and thankful that that we can be together today. We have been studying the book of Hebrews for quite a few weeks here on Sunday mornings at this time, and so we'll continue our study today looking at Hebrews chapter 12, and it just so happens that the major focus of the portion of Scripture that we'll look at today here in Hebrews 12 has to do with discipline. In other words, the illustration that the Lord uses to instruct His people. That means that the illustration the Lord uses to instruct you and me right here, right now, centers around the concept of discipline. Now here's the situation. Let's set the context. The original audience, those that first received this message that we label the book of Hebrews. This first audience was going through difficult times. They were suffering. You look back at Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 36. It speaks about the fact that they had been suffering by incarceration, being jailed just for standing up for the faith. They had the plundering of their goods. Their homes were being ransacked and their material things were being taken from them. They were suffering just because they stood with Jesus in the face of other choices. And so they're going through difficult times. And God wanted them to know, the message to that audience, and thus the message to you and me this morning, God wants us to know that our suffering and our facing hardship, our going through adversity, doesn't have to be pointless. In fact, it could lead to great things. Our going through a period of discipline ought to lead to other things on the other side that are very good. There could be numerous positive outcomes that start with suffering. We might say you can get a brand new perspective on life once you've been through suffering. More appreciation for blessings, whether they're big or small. Recognition. Sometimes we suffer and it can bring us to a point of recognition that something's wrong and needs to change with us. You know, maybe it's the case that you start feeling ill and you realize, I need to change my diet or I need to do this or that. That suffering leads to something, you know, this recognition, something needs to change. Spiritually speaking, suffering should make us realize how much we depend on God. It should cause us to be more thankful, more humble, more prayerful. When we go through times and seasons of pain, it ought to lead us to call out to, reach out to, and lean on God more than ever before. So the concept of discipline is our focal point. Now, I think that most would agree with me if I said this, that some aspects of parenting are harder than others. Right? That's not like a big revelation. And one of the hardest parts, as far as I'm concerned, one of the hardest parts of being a parent is discipline. And not, I don't mean just mere punishment, but the proper teaching, the proper training, and the proper correction, all of those things. Finding out the what and the how of discipline can be daunting. So let me say something and just be loud and clear here just for a moment. We love and we appreciate the godly adults who seek to train and influence the next generation. We are so thankful. So on a day like today, we want to specifically take just a moment and say to our mothers, thank you. And we want to say, don't give up. If you have little ones and you're wrestling with them in the pew, we want to say we see you and we love you and we appreciate you and don't give up. You might go home and feel exhausted, but those kids will remember it and those kids will be thankful for it. So thank you for dragging a little one or two or three or four here, and please keep it up. If you have older ones who've maybe wandered away, we say to you, don't give up. We support you, we're praying for you, and we're here to try and help you in any way we can. But for the rest of us who are not mothers, let us reflect upon and demonstrate our gratitude for all that our mothers have done for us. Appreciate the prayer that Tommy offered a moment ago. Let us be thankful for our mothers who didn't spare the rod, as it were, but they disciplined us in the love and the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. I can't help but think, I hope you'll just forgive me for a quick moment for something personal to say. On a day like today, I can't help but miss my mother, but be so thankful for the way that she was serious about discipline. Now, my mom, most of the people here outside of, I guess maybe only Roger, the only person in this room that knows my mom, she was 5'2". Didn't intimidate anyone on the whole entire planet except me. She was the kind of person that everybody else recognized as sweet and kind, like the picture of a friend, what that person should be. But I knew she meant business, and I was intimidated at times. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the way that I could see the way she treated others, and she showed them the love of Christ, and she showed them a person of compassion and mercy and help. And I knew that she could help me, and I knew that she was there for me, and I knew she loved me more than the rest of the world itself. But I also knew she meant business. And God says here in this passage in Hebrews 12, He compares the way in which we see ourselves going through things to the way in which a father, you might just make a blanket statement, a parent, a person, a position of authority who's trying to help the next generation, the way in which an adult disciplines a child. The disciple of Jesus Christ has to appreciate the great value that is to be found in being disciplined. Now, there's a few things that I want us to focus on here in this text of Hebrews 12. Four things in particular that discipline should help us understand at a time of, and discipline can take on so many different forms, and we recognize that. There's so many different parenting styles and parenting concepts. We recognize discipline takes different forms. And even when it comes to the Lord Himself, there's different ways in which He disciplines His children. But the overarching theme of Hebrews 12 is that of going through something hard, facing a time of suffering, facing a time of pain, and recognizing that it's not just happenstance, it's not just accidental, but that it's sent from the discipline, the love of God. So discipline ought to help us, first of all, recognize and understand better the concept of love. Now, you might think that sounds, discipline and love, how does that go together? And for the immature, this is one of the hardest lessons to learn. If someone truly loves you, they are going to sometimes say things and do things that you don't like. Specifically, there's going to be times where they discipline you. If someone loves you, they're going to take the time and make the effort to offer you correction. C.S. Lewis once said, and I've got a couple of quotes here from Lewis that I think are extremely appropriate to the concept of understanding love. Lewis once wrote in his book called The Problem of Pain, he wrote that love in its own nature demands the perfecting of the beloved. Now let me unpack that real quick. If I love someone, what I'm going to seek for them is the very best. He calls it the perfecting of the beloved. What that means is I'm going to try and help bring you up to a different level. I'm not going to let you just wallow there where you are. I'm not going to let you settle for. I'm going to try and bring you up and get so you can get the very, very most out of your God-given talent. Love in its own nature demands the perfecting of the beloved. That the mere kindness which tolerates anything except suffering in its object is in that respect the opposite from love. To just tolerate anything and everything in the beloved is not love, he said. And I think we learned that here in Hebrews 12. That's exactly right. The person who cares nothing for you is one who says, do whatever you want. It makes sense then that parents have rules. It makes sense then that parents mete out, offer out discipline when rules are broken. Understanding the connection between discipline and love will help us see the world better because it helps us see the world correctly. Another quote from Lewis goes like this. If you think this world is a place that's simply intended for your happiness, you'll find it quite intolerable. you won't enjoy yourself. But if you think of this place, this world, as a place for training and correction, you'll see it's not so bad. And again, I think that's right. I think that's what Hebrews 12 is communicating to us, is if you'll recognize the value in discipline, you'll see the goodness, the proper direction of it, you'll recognize how you're loved. Look at Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 5. Hebrews 12, 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons, as children, as those of a loving parent? He goes back and he quotes from Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 11. This is Proverbs 3, 11. In other words, he says, look, have you forgotten what the Bible says? Have you forgotten what God reveals to us about who He is and who we are? This is what God says to us in Proverbs 3, 11. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves. And He chastises every son that He receives, all those that He brings in. It's for discipline that you have to endure God treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So one of the things that we learn here in this passage is this, that to be disciplined means it's being shown, it's being demonstrated to us that someone loves us, that someone cares about us, that someone wants to include us as part of their team, someone wants to include us as part of their family. He says, don't you recognize that the discipline you're going through means God sees you as His child? To be left alone, to be just told do whatever, means you're not cared about. To be disciplined means we're part of the family and we're included there. It helps us understand that we're loved. Go all the way back. I want you to see the rest of the context of Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 3, it's one of those great, touching, helpful proverbs that, you know, again and again and again, the proverbs are shared from the perspective of a parent speaking to their child. Sort of a repeated refrain is this: my son, listen to me, your father, and to your mom. Listen to us. If you'll listen to me and your mom, things will go better for you. That's a repeated idea over and over again. So listen in Proverbs 3:1, beginning. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Now I want to just highlight something before we go on and read it even more. All through this passage, it's going to be emphasized that if you will listen to and accept the discipline of your parent now, it will lead to your best life now. To flourish now, to grow now, to thrive now. You'll listen. Because look at these verses. Verse 2, you'll listen to your mom and dad for length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. Then verse 4, so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Verse 8, it'll be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. Verse 10, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Do you see how it says again and again and again, there's this emphasis on how to live your best life now, and it begins by listening to the instruction and accepting the discipline of mom and dad. So let's go back and read it now. My son, don't forget my teaching and let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good success in the eyes of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all you produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats be bursting with wine. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him who He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. Listen, be teachable, be coachable, be kind, be trustworthy, follow God rather than self, follow God rather than others. Have a proper view of material things and money. See discipline for what it is. Love means inclusion. You see, he says, here's the way you'll approach the admonitions and the teachings of your parents. You will recognize that when they tell you how to be, how to live, when they connect your life to the will of God, when they have to discipline, you will recognize that all of these things are done in love. And it helps us better understand what love is. Discipline helps us better understand love. But there's also this in Hebrews 12. Discipline also helps us with the concept of endurance. If we will understand what it is to go through something hard, we will learn that we are able to bear up under and continue under the weight and the strain of these things and come out on the other side. Pain and suffering can wear us out. I think if we're honest at all, we will say pain and suffering, it wears us out. And sometimes punishment and correction can wear us out. But we need to see that there is a method and there is a reason for all of this and thus not give up when we go through it. Sometimes our struggle and what we have to endure is against being weary and finally just giving in because of the pain. Look at verses 12 and 13 here in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 12. He says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. And this is all after having said, have a proper perspective on discipline. Don't you see your father disciplines you for these reasons? So he says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Drooping hands and weak knees, these are images of someone who has been through a long and exhausting ordeal. Difficult times have the ability to wear us out. And so he says, here's an opportunity now. We're to band together. We're to lift each other up as a family ought to do. And so if you know the phrase, that which does not kill us only makes us stronger, then you know what's being said here. You've been disciplined. You've faced hard times. But with the Lord's help, you have made it through. So strengthen those drooping hands. Use them to shake them out and get ready to use them again. Strengthen those weak knees. Get up off those knees that have wobbled and be ready to walk and run again. You've been through the difficult times. You've made it through to the other side. So now see to each other and help each other get up and get going again. Suffering and discipline just means it's an opportunity to display endurance rather than the time to give in. But here's really, I think, the key of what he's saying. Go back to 12, verse 3. In 12, 3, he's saying that our struggle is really not just against pain, it's not just against suffering, it's not just against these various hardships. The struggle we face is the struggle against sin. Hebrews 12, 3 beginning. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself. Think about Jesus and the mocking and the whippings and the cross. Think about Jesus so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So there's the focal point. The real struggle is sin versus faithfulness. And what he's encouraging them to do is to don't just finally give in to sin. Sin calls and it begs and it pleads and it coerces. It offers shiny and bright promises. But whatever type of pleasure sin is offering, it's not worth it. You go back to Hebrews 11, 24, 25, 26, and we read of Moses, and it says that he wasn't willing to throw away his life with God for the pleasures of sin, the temporary, fleeting pleasures of sin. And so, in other words, the message here in Hebrews 12 is continue the struggle. Let somebody know what's tempting you. Let somebody know what's enticing you, and you can withstand it together. In addition to this great cloud of witnesses who've been through it all, there's this reminder in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Others have faced what you're facing. But God is faithful, and He won't let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He'll also provide a way of escape. Now listen to this, so that you may be able to endure it. Resist. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Resist. You don't have to give in. And so part of what discipline helps us to see and understand is that we don't have to give in to the sin that's attacking and tempting. But there's also this idea. Not only is there this plea and this struggle against sin not to give in to sin, but there's also this struggle in sin to get out of it. If your struggle means that you are in the middle of sin, then what the call here is, the call is to come out, like in Luke chapter 15 with the parable of the prodigal son. The call was for him to come home to the father's house, to get out of the pig pen. He's calling us to finally get up and get out because the father waits for us. The son has died for us. He's notice there in Hebrews 12 verse 4 when he says, "You have not yet resisted to blood." You know what the deep implication there is? It's that Jesus did. You haven't switched your life for someone else. You haven't gone somewhere and sacrificed and given up your blood so that someone else might live. But Jesus did. When you consider all that he's done, all that he endured, you and I don't shed our blood to save others, but he did. He went to the cross so that you and I could live. He went to the cross so that you and I could be confident that we could be forgiven. He shed his blood so that you and I could be covered by that blood and live forever. And so if it's the case for you today that you've never obeyed the gospel, then what our Lord is calling us to do is to be washed in that blood that was shed on the cross. It says it this way in Acts 2:38, we are to repent and be immersed and we'll be forgiven and given the gift of the Holy Ghost. If that is your situation, we call on you to consider that. But maybe it's the case that you are in the middle of struggling with sin. We call on you to come to the one that shed his blood to forgive you. To one degree or another, we all struggle with sin. The key is honesty. And trusting God to keep his promises, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, that we must be honest about our sin and trust him to be faithful to us to forgive us of our sins. His blood cleanses. But discipline also helps us to understand not only about love and about enduring, but it also helps us to understand about growing. Look at 10 and 11, Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. They disciplined us, this is our parents, our moms, our dads, they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he, that is the Lord, disciplines for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. There's a reason why the phrase, and I know our podcast guys talked about this recently. There's a reason why the phrase, "this is going to hurt me more than it does you," is well known. It's because so many parents have felt that. But they stick to it. They say, "this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you," and then they go ahead and do it. They carry through with the punishment in spite of the unpleasant nature of it all because they're convinced that it's worth it. They're convinced that there's positive effects and outcomes that'll be seen on the other side. Now, let me emphasize, nobody should enjoy the episode or the encounter of punishment. The one being disciplined, they're not going to enjoy it for obvious reasons. The one doing the punishment, they're not going to enjoy it because they love the one they're correcting. But note the goal-oriented nature of these two verses in Hebrews 12, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says the discipline should lead to holiness. Verse 11 says the discipline should yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Sometimes it takes pain and difficulty to grow. This is easily seen in things like exercise, you know, in athletics. It takes sweat and pain in order to come out on the other side a better athlete, a better player. But it's done in the name of improvement and in growth, and it takes difficulty to grow. But there's also this concept. I want you to think about this. A willingness to submit to reproof. A willingness to be corrected, a willingness to endure discipline, that shows a desire to grow and change. Because part of rebellion, whether it's in a teenager or any other class of people at any point, rebellion is often having made the decision, you know what, I know better than you. You may be in a position of authority, but I know better than you. And so you quit listening. But part of maturity is understanding that you have things to learn and you have room for improvement. I would say that I'm a pretty mature person because I recognize how far I've got to go, how much growth I've got to do. I'm a long way, a million miles from who I want to be. As a husband, as a father, I'm a long ways. Even the Apostle Paul knew that he had room to grow and improve. That's what he's saying in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. I've not reached it yet. I'm still striving. I'm still learning. I'm still training. I'm still enduring discipline. I'm still growing. And so the Lord tells us here in Hebrews 12 that if you will approach discipline with the right mindset, see it for what it is, it will lead to growth. It'll lead to being better on the other side than we were before. And that brings us to the last thing. Because all of this discipline is to lead us to being holy. The Lord had said to us, you be holy as I am holy. The goal for us is holiness. See, in fact, he says here in Hebrews 12, we won't even see him. We won't get to be with the Lord. We won't get to spend eternity with the Lord if we are not holy. And so the discipline of the Lord should lead us to lives that are distinct and that are different. Specifically, as it says so much here in this last paragraph, in the way that we treat others. He says, therefore, lift those drooping hands. Look at verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and that by it, by that root of bitterness, so many are defiled. He also says, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, after he had gone through and made the deal, it says, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no more chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. When it says, strive for peace with everyone, we recognize that part of striving for peace means we're trying to help others, ourselves and others, stay in the grace of God. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 speaks of removing the telephone pole, the huge beam that's in our own eye, in order to help our brother with the speck in his. It says in James chapter 5, verse 20, we're to strive for bringing back a sinner from his wandering ways. And so part of what it is to strive for peace with all is to help us all stand in the grace of God. But part of peace is also keeping bitterness from popping up and spreading. It speaks of that root of bitterness that springs up and causes trouble. You know, the image is one of, you ever had just one weed? Your garden, your flower bed, whatever it might be, your landscaping, there's one weed. Leave it alone for a couple of days. Walk past that one weed. See, come back to it in a week, 2 weeks, and what's happened? Has it gone away on its own? Has it just stood there solitary, or has it spread? Well, we all know the answer. It spreads, and it begins to defile all the things that are there around it. And so he says here, see that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble with you. Keep the bitterness from spreading. Say you're sorry. Say I forgive you. Do the things that are necessary to establish and keep peace amongst brethren. Because here's the way it all shakes out. Here's the final analysis of it all. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Seeing the Lord will be worth it. All the discipline we've gone through, all the pain we've suffered, all the things we've endured, finally seeing the Lord will be worth it. Any discipline is just a small, small price to pay to see Him and be with Him forever. And so what you and I must do is see the connection between discipline and belonging to the Lord. We must be so thankful for those who've loved us enough to discipline us. And so let us love others enough to show them God's love, even in times of discipline. And so what we must do is grow from what we've endured. We can't give up. We have to press on in order to one day see the Lord. He says, go through and endure all these things. Embrace the discipline that the Lord metes out, because this will help you to be holy. And without being holy, you don't see the Lord. We're thankful for those who love us enough to correct us. And above all, that means we're thankful for the Lord who loves us enough to correct us, but loved us enough to send His Son. If there's any way that we can help connect you to Jesus the Christ, we want to encourage you to come now while we stand and sing together.